much about how so easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. I don't know what your mother told you, but let me explain it from my side in terms you can understand.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks. Where are you coming from?
Los Angeles.
L.A. Yeah, I used to live there. I had so much fun with so many people. I almost died.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
This place is terrific. It's a pre-war building built right after the Iraq War. How's that mattress treating you?
I can't sleep like this. I feel like I'm in a coffin.
I slept in a coffin once. It wasn't that bad, except for the body. Get your mind out of the gutter. It was my father.
And now,
Kevin and Bean listeners out there, this is Terry Crews. What's up? Good morning. Get going. Let's go.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday morning, the 24th of January.
Hey, it's 1/12 Christmas Eve, you guys.
I mean, stop it.
We are hurtling toward
the holiday. No, but seriously. I mean, even if you're going to make that joke tomorrow, don't make it today.
It's 1/12 Christmas Eve.
Yeah, no.
The
1/12 Christmas isn't even a thing, let alone 1/12 Christmas Eve.
You can't deny the calendar, man.
Stop it.
Look, I don't make things up. It's just that.
You're making that up. That's not a thing because 1/12 Christmas isn't a thing.
Well,
let alone Christmas Eve.
It is today.
No.
So, happy holidays, everybody. I got to say, Allie, your hair looks fantastic.
Stop it.
What's going on with
your
hair?
He was giving me a compliment.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Bean. What?
I said your
Stop
hair.
Stop it.
Jesus, Kevin.
Tremendous.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have some work done yesterday? You have a big day?
Some work done.
Some work done. You going to the knife?
I had a hair appointment. I did indeed. Yeah, we're going to New York. I gotta step my hair game up, you guys.
Right? We all have
to.
Me too, right?
I've said that for years.
Wait,
you're not going to.
And that is why, Allie, why do you have to step your hair game up for New York? What's different about being out of L.A. that makes you need better hair? Because I would think you would care more about your hair at home when you run into people that you know.
Yeah, no. Not like I'm looking at this work trip like a vacation, but vacation sex.
Oh, you all are.
Yeah. Oh, we all are. Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, just you want to look good for people you haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, well, you have people you're visiting while you're there?
I mean, no, because I'm working, but...
Oh, right, yeah. Working, right.
Yeah.
I keep mistaking that, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
I had forgotten about a potential New York hookup, because who knows what's available to you.
Oh, I know what's available to me.
So, well, I just want to say that you look very nice.
Thank you, Bean.
That's all. I know we have a lot of show today, including some guests we're very excited about. But I want to start with this. King of Mexico, he didn't show up this early. He wouldn't be here now.
Most of the time, no, but he might be. I don't know.
Dave, if you're here, come on in because I got a story that you are going to love. Dave is one of those people who makes millionaires out of Instagram pets. He's a fan. Did we have him in one day to talk about how many animals he follows on Instagram?
Yeah, I think it's just under 20. It's like 18 or 19.
It's absurd.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Grumpy Cat is in the news right now. I've never been a big Grumpy Cat fan, and I know you haven't either, Kevin. How about you, Allie? Any love for the memes of Grumpy Cat?
Nope.
Back a few years ago, maybe 2012 or something like that, the owner of Grumpy Cat, Tabitha Bundinson of Morristown, Arizona, put up a photo of her cat who has a little bit of a frowny face, and it said, "I had fun once. It was awful." And it just took off and went viral almost instantly. And she started putting more and more pictures up, and people just fell in love with her cat. In fact, she was able to quickly monetize Grumpy Cat's fame, allowing her to quit her job waitressing at the Red Lobster. She has made... There's no exact numbers, but it is estimated up to $100 million off of
her. Oh, no way.
Which I find hard to believe as well.
That
number sounds too much to me.
But let's say it's 1/10 of that.
Yes, let's say it's $10 million because her cat has a frowny face,
right.
Okay? The company, she formed a company, Grumpy Cat Limited, has produced a line of branded clothing, pillows, mugs, pens, bags, books, written, quote-unquote.
Most of which Dave owns.
Oh, I'm sure he does. That's why it'd be great if he got to work on time.
Yeah.
Including one New York Times bestseller. The cat has appeared on the Today Show, the Good Morning America, even American Idol, has starred in a commercial for Honey Nut Cheerios, became an official spokescat for Nestle's Friskies cat food. It just goes on and on and on. Well, the reason I bring up all this, maybe this is, you know, this is all stuff you probably know if you care about Grumpy Cat, is Grumpy Cat has been in court this week.
Yes.
And the verdict just came in.
All right. To jail with Grumpy Cat.
Yes. Grumpy Cat didn't do anything wrong. Oh. Grumpy Cat and a company were suing each other. There was an intellectual property dispute that has raged on between Grumpy Cat Limited and the Grenade Beverage Company. Now, what happened is the Grenade Beverage Company struck a deal with Grumpy Cat to sell a line of iced coffees called Grumpy Cat Grumpachinos.
I need you to stop this story immediately.
I hate everyone involved.
I don't want to know the outcome. I hate everyone.
Same. Including you for bringing us this story.
Mostly you. For making me know there's a thing called Grumpachinos.
What about the people who go into that store and order a Grumpachino?
Yeah, those people. They need to eat Tide Pops or whatever they are.
Tide Pods, yeah.
So that deal was struck in 2013. So that was legit, and that's what they did. Well, in 2015, the beverage company decided to create a second line, Grumpy Cat Roasted Coffee, which was not part of the original deal. So Grumpy Cat sued them. Then the coffee company sued back saying, hey, Grumpy Cat didn't do everything that Grumpy Cat was supposed to do to promote our line of Grumpachinos. They were supposed to make mentions of it on television appearances, on and on and on. And they have been, you know, in court all this time. Well, the ruling has been revealed. A jury in San Jose, California ruled for Grumpy Cat, and the owner was awarded $700,000 in the lawsuit. $700,000 on top of however many millions of dollars Grumpy Cat has already made.
Yeah, we're here. I don't like anyone or anything about this story. There's nothing redeeming in this story.
Mm-mm.
I do have one question, though, for reals. And we have talked about the crazy people who clone their pets.
Yep.
If Grumpy Cat is making this kind of money for Tabitha, the lady who owns her, wouldn't it kind of almost be worth cloning Grumpy Cat before she passes on? If the cat is going to come out looking exactly like Grumpy Cat?
I know. Is that a technology that's been perfected?
I think you can, yeah. Since Dolly the Sheep 20 years ago, yeah, you can clone a pet. But we've talked about how it's dumb because it's not going to have the personality of your
cat. Right, not going to be Grumpy, Bean. What if it's a happy cat? Oh,
but my question is, will it come out looking exactly like Grumpy Cat? Isn't that the deal? Is it they are identical twins?
Is Grumpy Cat, does he look grumpy just because that's his face shape,
yes,
or is that his disposition?
That's his face.
Oh.
Just the way
that's
he looks.
That's his face. Yeah.
Well,
he's just got a little frowny face is all.
If you clone him, it's the same face.
That's what I would think. I would think that Grumpy Cat could live forever in this case. And as dumb as the cloning of the pet is,
You'd have 75 of them doing tours all over the world?
No, but what I'm saying is for this lady, it sounds like it financially would make sense for her to clone Grumpy Cat. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right.
So anyway, there's your Grumpy Cat update. We'll tell Dave about it when he wakes up.
You know, you could email him.
Yeah.
He does email even when he's at home and asleep.
Okay.
So feel free to put that in an email. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? And it's getting late, so good luck. new feature called World Star Wednesday.
Oh.
That has potential.
Can't wait. We're going to talk to Steve-O, our friend. He just got engaged, and we want to find out how. In his Instagram post, he said he spent 6 months planning it.
Wow.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt in my mind that Steve-O would not have a conventional engagement.
Right. So we're going to talk to him about it and find out just exactly how that went.
And congratulate him, by the way.
Yes, of course. Very happy. Another new feature called He Said, She Said on the program today. We're going to play HQ Trivia.
Oh.
I feel like we're going to win a lot of money.
Dear.
And that we'll never get.
Unless it's under $20, in which case we'll never get it.
I'm excited about this because I've been enjoying HQ Trivia, as you guys know, and I think you're missing out on how fun it is. So we thought it might be fun to play in the room. And for our listeners who haven't gotten into the game yet, I think they'll enjoy hearing what it's like.
All right. There's a robot that's been fired from a grocery store for being creepy.
Oh.
Robot's name? Bean.
Is it?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Weird.
And Dave Duchovny will be on the show today. Agent Mulder from The X-Files, which comes back tonight, and it looks like we're going to need mushrooms to really enjoy, fully enjoy The X-Files tonight.
Yeah, it looks wackadoodle.
So I can't wait. So we'll do all that. We've also got your tickets to see Incubus at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. And that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ali.
Bean.
What's happening?
We got this late yesterday, so couldn't get into the show. So I want to get it in now.
Okay.
LCD sound system with the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Hollywood Bowl, Friday, May 4th.
Yeah! All right.
Okay. In. By the way, Kevin, tickets on sale Friday, January 26th at 10 a.m. Or as you like to say.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Tickets on sale Friday, 10 at noon. Friday, 10 at noon. Why would I say that?
Nope.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Unless you were thinking maybe Central Time. So people listening there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Thank you.
But here's why I bring it up. Not only because LCD sound system is returning to the iconic Hollywood Bowl on Friday, May 4th. But on the poster, it's LCD sound system versus Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Not and, versus. But versus. So I'm thinking cage match, right?
You think they'll split the stage?
I feel like that's
play
what
play one song back and forth and then end in a fist fight.
Yes. Otherwise, why would it say versus?
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
I don't know so much about a race war, no. But I thought that was an interesting choice, putting versus. And Bean said, no, it's just an artistic choice.
I mean, that's my guess. I think it's I think that's more likely than a cage match.
Do you?
I do.
Really?
Although, isn't, what's his name? James Murphy from LCD Sound System? Mm-hmm. He's let himself go, right? Like, I can't even see him putting up much of a fight with the Yeah 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 kids.
Yeah, they could take him. I'm sure.
Take him. Yeah. Be sure concert.
Right? Maybe each night there's a cage match, and that determines who's headlining the next night.
I guess technically that's a possibility.
Sure.
We got to talk to someone. We've got to get to the bottom of this. We all remember Nipplegate, right?
Sure.
Super Bowl 38, Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson. A little bit of a nipple. The world freaked out. Everyone's lives in the media was changed forever.
Ours
was. That's very true.
It's absurd. The
lawyers
crackdown
went crazy after that.
Yeah. The FCC cracked down on pretty much all fun. Not that exposing someone's nipple was fun. I mean, it was pretty fun.
It was fun.
It's a good looking nipple. Way to go, Janet.
My nipples are so hard.
I mean, listen to her.
Right?
She's right. Did you know or even remember there was another performer on the field at that time?
Besides Justin and Janet?
Timberlake and Janet Jackson. Somebody that we should know, remember?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Was it Nelly?
Uh-uh. Hmm. And this person was just on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, pissed that nobody remembers that they were on the field because they spent 6 months practicing, rehearsing, and no one remembers that they were there.
Oh. Was it the guy that's saying,
it's getting hot in here,
no,
so take off all your clothes?
That's Beanie.
Oh, okay.
No.
Who was it, Ellie? On the field for 6 months?
Sean Paytity Combs. Who remembers that?
Really?
No, I sure recollection of him even being there, let alone performing.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I guess no one was looking at
it. So what was he doing while Justin and Janet were singing?
I have no idea. I feel like we need to look up that video if we can get it on our computer.
Which we can. Continue.
Isn't that crazy? And see if he was part of the song or was he coming up after and was ready. I have no memory of him, which makes it even funnier because that's why he's so mad.
He's mad now?
He says he's still upset.
That's funny.
Because he spent 6 long months preparing and nobody even knew he was there.
That's funny.
I would call Justin Timberlake again now and say, look, no one remembered me last time. Can I come on this time?
Absolutely.
And then no one say anything to him.
Why not? Why?
What's happening to your nipples?
Allie, I'm sure you saw yesterday because you've had Britney Spears feelings about the Super Bowl, right? You saw yesterday what's not happening with Justin's appearance at the Super Bowl.
Are you going to talk about Joey Fatone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that that apparently is the word right now. I'm freaking out because I think there's going to be Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake reunion.
Right.
The rest
which would
of,
be great, by the way.
Which would be great.
I support that. That's cool. That's a great idea.
But a ton of people are super stoked at the possibility of an NSYNC reunion. Well, that was put to rest yesterday when Joey Fatone said, I'm not going to be in Minneapolis on whatever, February 4th, whenever it is. So it's no-go. However, Bean, the 2013 MTV Video Music Awards, they denied a reunion too. Boom! Right? No one cares. Nobody cares.
When I saw the NSYNC news...
I didn't hear what you were talking about, but I heard no one cares.
I mean...
When I saw the NSYNC news, I thought, now is it more likely that Britt shows up because there's no NSYNC reunion? Or is it less likely because Justin is not having any special guests and is doing something on
his own? Justin Timberlake can actually handle the halftime show without Britney Spears.
And Beyonce could have handled hers without Destiny Child, but sometimes
she
did. Like...
Their mics weren't on.
Right, but sometimes you just like a little something, a little surprise, a little something extra. You know,
I would be shocked if it was just Justin. He's got to have special
guests. I would
guests.
Too.
Doesn't Bruno Mars come out every Super Bowl halftime now?
No matter who it is.
He's going to be a part of it for sure.
And it was very awkward when the Who were on stage.
Exactly. He was two. Get this toddler off the stage. Some birthdays for you. Actress Kristen Schaal, actors Ed Helms and Matthew Lillard, and singer Neil Diamond. And that's what's happening.
Dave Duchovny joins us just after 7 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about tonight's X-Files. By the way, I'm already pretty sad that the X-Files is going away. Because this is episode 4 of their final season now.
Right, but let us enjoy it.
But I'm saying we're almost halfway through the end of the last season ever of X-Files, probably.
Dude, you're so tiring.
Just makes me
sad. Let us enjoy the X-Files. Tonight's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. That's it.
HQ trivia is a thing, you guys, that our producer David King of Mexico turned me on to about 3 weeks ago, and I really enjoy it. Chip, you also play the game and love it, right?
Yes, I do.
1.6 million people were playing simultaneously on Sunday night's game, Kevin.
Okay.
And I've tried to tell you about this, and I really do think you would enjoy it. I'm telling you, I believe you, Allie, you as well. I think both of you guys would get hooked if you would play the game.
What is it about me that you think that I would enjoy that? Because any game that tests your power of recollection is super frustrating for me because I can't recall anything.
Right.
But it's 10 minutes of your life, it's free, it's fun, and you are a competitive person.
Right.
And I think you
but
would get...
the fact that I'm competitive would make it worse that I can't recall anything.
But I think you would get a charge out of the excitement of, I'm still in the game, as a question is asked and 300,000 people get bumped from the game and you're still in it, it fuels you to go on.
I don't buy that premise. I'm one of the 300,000.
All right. Well, we thought it might be fun because I'm sure there are a lot of people who have never heard of HQ Trivia and some people who have heard of it but have never played it. We thought it might be fun to bring it onto the radio. Now, Dave taped a game a few days ago. They do it twice a day on the West Coast. The times are at noon and at 6, and all you do is download the app and you play the game, okay? So he taped it on a day that Chip didn't play and I didn't play, so we've not heard these questions before. So we thought it might be fun as a room to see how we would do if we were playing HQ Trivia. And I think we just have questions and answers, and let's hear them and see how we do.
All right, now in the game, if I understand it correctly, you only have 10 seconds to answer. So let's try to get it in 20 or 25 just to...
To give us time to talk about our answer.
Okay,
all right. We'll try to speed through it.
Question one.
What does a rattlesnake typically do when it feels threatened? Rattles its tail, eats its feelings, or sends an angry email.
Mm. All right. That is clearly question one, which
that's
is always...
Gimme.
That's
email,
a gimme.
Email.
It's a gimme, but what's hilarious is that 10,000 people will miss that one.
No, sir.
Oh, yes. 10,000 people will miss that one.
Rattle its tail. Final answer.
Rattle its tail.
That rattle's not there to pacify nearby babies. No, it's to ward off predators when it feels threatened.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
By the way, Kevin, I don't know if you're going to love or hate Scott the host.
So far, I hate him.
He is punterific, first of all, and he will be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show live Monday morning as a guest.
All right. Love him.
Question two.
Which parent-filled word is a type of spice? Popsicle, cardamom, or Baghdad?
Cardamom.
Cardamom.
I've never heard of cardamom, but I know the other two aren't.
Right.
So let's say cardamom as well.
You got pop, mom, or dad, but only one is a spice, and that would be cardamom. Yes, typically used in South Asian cuisine.
You've heard of that, Allie?
Yeah.
Impressive.
Come on.
I haven't, but just like Bean, you can tell the other two aren't the answer, so process of elimination.
Guys, we're still in the game.
Still in the game.
How
about
that? Feels good.
How many people have dropped out so far, Bean?
Well, I don't know. I can't see this particular one, but I'm sure some have. And we're on our way to potentially winning up to $2, Kevin.
All right.
In Peanuts, what breed of dog is Snoopy? Border
Beagle.
Collie, Pitbull, or Beagle?
Beagle.
He's way Beagle.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown, and Charlie's good friend, dare I say best friend, is a Beagle named Snoopy.
But that's a
Does
great...
Does he have to say that stuff that way?
No, but he's okay. A great host. That is exactly the kind of question. And it's not a smarts thing. It's not an IQ thing. You either know something about Peanuts or you don't. And a lot of people have no idea what Peanuts even is, and even fewer probably even remember Snoopy's a Beagle. So that's what's fun about this, is that questions like that come
up. All right, three for three.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Which of these is a French territory? French Guiana, French Stuart, or French Cyprus?
Guiana. Come on now.
A French territory happens to be the only mainland American territory in the North or South America, I'm talking about, still part of a European country. French Stuart is about as French as Paris Hilton. Mad respect for Third Rock from the Sun, though. Cyprus hasn't been ruled by the French since the 15th century, but located on the northeast coast of South America, French Guiana remains a territory of France, and it has been since the 1600s.
Four for four.
I mean,
how
he
smart
had
do you feel right now?
Sweating there for a second, right?
He did. The way
he said French Stuart, I was like, what?
Kevin, how smart do you feel right now?
So far, I'm 4 for 4.
You're playing a trivia game,
how about
and
that?
You're 4 for 4. Yeah. Lots of people are already out.
I'm a winner.
This is a rush. Okay,
here we go.
Not yet.
What actor famously yelled, "Not the bees, not the bees," in a 2006 film? Nicolas Cage, Macaulay Culkin.
No, that was...
Oh, really?
Wicker Man.
Oh, Wicker Man. I was thinking of when he got attacked by the bees and he can't see without his glasses in My Girl.
Different movie.
Okay. Well, he got attacked by bees. That's why I'd be out.
You'd be out on this one.
Now, Kevin, how about you? You with me on Nick Cage?
Yes.
Okay, let's
Nick Cage.
This movie from 2006 was a remake of the much better original 1973 film of the same name.
My Girl.
Wicker Man.
Oh, okay.
And the actor who utters this iconic line, who else but our national treasure, Nicolas Cage, not the bees, not the bees.
Yeah, Macaulay didn't even say anything because he was just attacked.
Hold on, I have the tape.
What is that? What is it? What is that? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah!
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, where are we? Is that five?
It's five.
We're still in, you guys. Allie's out.
I'm playing with you guys.
Okay, Kevin,
right?
And I
We're
are
on
in.
The same team.
You can help us.
Okay.
Which of these Hebrew texts does not form a significant part of the Christian Old Testament? Torah, Ketuvim, or Talmud?
Ketuvim.
Boy.
It's the only one I didn't recognize.
The middle one is the one I didn't recognize. I've heard of the Talmud and I've heard of the Torah, so I would say whatever the middle one is.
Ketuvim, come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's wrong with you people? Do you not know stuff?
The Old Testament is adapted from the earlier Hebrew Bible, a.k.a. the Tanakh. It's comprised of the Torah, instruction, Nevi'im, the Book of Prophets, and the Ketuvim, writings. The Talmud is a very important collection of rabbinical texts, but not part of the Bible per se. Talmud is your answer.
I'm out!
Oh,
we're all out. We lose. We lose. We get nothing. Good day, sir.
Can we keep playing, though? Couple
Why?
More.
We're big losers,
couple
though.
More. Couple more.
You don't get to keep.
We saw. Robots taking over the world, you guys.
Define taking over the world.
What do you mean,
are they?
Look how many jobs are being automated. Look how many companies are going to robots to do the work that people used to do. It's happening more and more. It's in the news all the time.
Is it?
For example.
here's an example, for instance. They are down a man at the Margiata. Is probably not how you pronounce the supermarket in Scotland, because instead of having an employee in the store that customers will ask questions for, they have Fabio, a robot, who is specifically designed to be able to hold conversations with humans. So when you go in and you're looking for, hey, where's the milk, you ask Fabio, and Fabio tells you what aisle the milk is on instead of a person.
All right, let's say that you guys are in a supermarket, mm-hmm. and you see a robot in the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
and it has a smock on, or however you know that it's identified as it actually works there. Would you walk up to that robot and ask it a question?
Probably.
I don't think I would.
I think I would, because I would be interested in to see how the technology. And by the way, not to get off topic here, you saw it, I'm certain, on the news this week, Allie, the supermarket that Amazon has that opened in Seattle that has no humans working there.
Yeah.
It's all just done by your phone. You walk in, and when you pick up the stuff you want, you walk out, and it just scans it for you as you leave the store. There's no people in there.
That's a dangerous way to shop.
That's technology.
Here's the thing with Fabio. You don't even have to walk up to him. He comes and greets you with, "Hello, gorgeous." Seriously.
And then
gives you high fives.
I'm not high-fiving a robot, am I?
Fabio's pretty cool. But you know what? He wasn't very helpful, they found.
Why?
Because people would say, "Where's the cheese?" And Fabio would say, "In the fridge." Okay. All right.
Now
where's
he's
the
a
beer?
Smart-ass robot.
Where's the beer? In the alcohol section. So they were like, "Why are we? What? Fabio sucks."
But isn't that just a question of refining the program? That's the thing about artificial intelligence: is you work with it more, the more conversations it has, the more you can teach it what it is you expect it to say.
Why was Fabio fired from this grocery store in Scotland?
Because of those specific things and creeping out people in the sausage section.
He was scaring customers away from the sausage.
Apparently, when you have a human handing out free sausage samples, you can get 12 customers to eat sample sausages every 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Fabio only managed an average of 2.
Oh, Fabio.
Fabio did not perform as well as we had hoped. Is it a little bit creepy if you walk in and a robot is trying to get you to test this sausage?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we asked Dave if there's any way we could talk to somebody from the supermarket chain, which is, again, Margiotta in Scotland. And I'm not sure who we have on the line here, but let's say hello and find out more about Fabio. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for calling Fabio.
Oh, hey. We actually have Fabio on the line. You're still there. That's fantastic.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
We heard you were fired from the grocery store in Scotland.
You got that right. I'm going where the work is.
Okay.
Now I work at the Piggly Wiggly in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow, that's a pretty big move, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And how are you enjoying your second supermarket then, Fabio?
I really enjoy my work.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm on the job right now.
Oh. Should you be talking to us then?
Well, my bosses say that I shouldn't be distracted from my work, but screw them, right?
Well, I don't think that's the attitude.
Hold on. Here comes a customer.
Okay.
Excuse me. Can you tell me where green beans are?
Have you checked in your ass?
Fabio.
I hear a woman on the phone. Who's that?
Hi, Fabio. My name's Allie.
What just happened? What's happening?
Robots don't need Viagra, you know what I'm saying?
Fabio, this is inappropriate. You're working.
I'm getting oil flow in my ball bearings.
Oh, no.
You don't need that.
Yeah, you do.
No, you do need it.
Yeah.
I mean, I
spend a lot of time with the butcher at the store because I deliver the meat.
Fabio.
That's another transfer coming up soon. Can you stop making those noises?
One of my main functions is vibrate. Giggity, you little bitch.
I was wrong. Robots are not taking over the world. David Duchovny, Agent Mulder from The X-Files. We'll be talking to us just after 7 o'clock this morning.
I like it.
Very excited.
I've been talking to Dave for 25 years on this show.
Yep.
And he's always so much fun.
Yeah, he is. He's great.
Looking forward to his latest visit. That's coming up. First, Allie's here with What's Happening on a Wednesday morning. What's happening?
Bean, I noticed you couldn't help yourself in your support of National Peanut Butter Day.
Well, yeah. Peanut butter is probably in my top 3 favorite foods of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Along with pancakes and toast. I think those are probably my big 3s. Pancakes, toast, and peanut butter are probably my 3 favorite things.
Toast, though.
Toast is the most bland thing ever.
Toast is the weirdest.
Toast is my favorite food.
Okay. All right. What kind of peanut butter?
I'm a Skippy Chunky is my favorite.
Okay.
But peanut butter is an area that I am not afraid to experiment a little bit.
You're a wild man. Mm.
I will tell you, although I refuse creamy, I reject creamy in principle.
Well, then you certainly are not as open-minded as you think.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just know that creamy is an abomination, and anyone who eats it will go to hell. But I like all kinds of different peanut butter. Why do you bring it up? Is peanut butter in the news besides National Peanut Butter Day?
No, I just noticed you actually interacting with humans on Twitter about peanut butter.
If it's about something really unimportant, he's all over
it. Not unimportant. Awesome.
That's what I mean. Awesome.
Yeah. All right.
And by the way, if you can't talk peanut butter with your friends on National Peanut Butter Day, when can you?
That's a good point. He also complimented me at the start of the show.
Yeah, something's off.
It's National Compliment Day. Did you know that, Bean?
Is it really?
It is.
I did not know that.
I mean, you were just being nice then?
Well, your hair looks fantastic.
You weren't like, let me fill this quota.
No,
here we go.
Not at all.
Check. I had no one with that one.
Done. Until next year.
Now I'm going to talk about peanut butter all day.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Smashing Pumpkins reunion seems to really be in the works, which is great, unless you're their bass player, Darcy Wretzky. Because she found out she's not going to be a part of it.
Well, it's not a Smashing Pumpkins reunion, then.
You would think if it's all about every member of the band, except her. So here's her quote. My apologies to all of the Smashing Pumpkins fans out there who are excited about this oncoming reunion tour of the original members of the band. I know this is a huge disappointment for me as well. But it's not going to happen with me. I only found out about it yesterday that the band has decided to go with a different bass player.
Oh, that's a crappy way to find out.
Way to go, Chip. Breaking up another band, right?
Actually one plane.
Exactly.
Chip's their bassist.
Going to sneak right in there. That's a bummer way to find out.
Yeah.
Like, hey, when do we leave, guys? And they're like, new number, who dis? That's just sad. Bitcoin.
Yes.
I don't get it. I don't understand it, but someone was smart enough to be an early adopter, and that person is 50 Cent. Apparently, he was an early investor in the cryptocurrency. He accepted Bitcoin payments for his 2014 album, Animal Ambition. Did you know that?
No,
I did not.
Crazy. So here's the deal. 50 took 700 Bitcoins, which was worth about $400,000, but he sat on it.
Okay.
He waited. He's like, this might add up. So now what is he looking at if he decided to cash it in?
You said it was worth $700,000 then?
It was worth $400,000.
$400,000.
Yeah.
Okay. $2 million.
Bean?
I'm not good with math.
$8.5 million.
Wow.
Should he decide to cash it in now? And again, where do you cash it in?
I guess you sell it to someone else?
No one knows.
I don't know. We've talked about it on the show before. We've had people call in, and we still can't figure it out.
We have no idea.
I got so confused. I saw a headline the other day about how much electricity is involved in keeping cryptocurrencies alive. And okay. I thought, no idea what any of that means. Like, why would you need it? We're talking about a payment form. We're talking about money, I guess, that's not physical. But why would you need a great deal of electricity to keep it alive? I don't understand anything about cryptocurrency.
I feel like we're going to be so behind on this. Like, when the internet started and we were like, that's crazy, the World Wide Web. Who needs that crap? I feel like this is going to be the same thing and we're screwed because we're like, I don't get it. Nobody needs it. And then in 10 years, everybody's...
We're all going to be using it.
Yeah, buying houses with Bitcoin and we're like, oh, still don't get it. This is bad, you guys.
50 Cent, who, by the way, had a pretty successful career as a rapper, has now gone on in several different industries, including alcohol and water and all sorts of other stuff, and has just, I feel like he's made himself a billionaire.
Oh, dude is one of the biggest moguls ever. It's unbelievable what he's done.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Crazy stuff. Well, I don't know if she accepts Bitcoin, but Pam Anderson is making it possible for you to rent out her home in Malibu. This is a home that has a floating staircase, a Picasso-style tub, guest house pool, and of course, views of the ocean. How much per month to live in Pam Anderson's home? Keep in mind, she is not there.
That's important.
Yeah.
$20,000 a month?
A month.
$20,000 a month.
Yeah, that would be great, right?
That seems like a lot.
Bean?
I'm not good with math.
God damn it. $40,000 a month, unless...
A month?
Unless you want it for the summer, then it gets jacked up to $70,000 a month.
Wow.
A month.
And she's there or she's not there?
She is not there.
Okay.
No. Mm. How much would it be if she was there? Seriously.
Pam Anderson?
Yes, Pam Anderson. That is just insane.
How about the basketball game?
Right. How about that?
Yeah, how about it? Some birthdays for you. We've got actors Ed Helms and Matthew Lillard, singer Neil Diamond, and actress Kristen Schaal. And that's what's happening.
All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, we are hooking you up with trips to Las Vegas. The one in Nevada, by the way, which is the good Las Vegas. That's the one you want to go to, not the Las Vegas, California. We're talking about an NQ bus trip to Vegas, a one-night stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And you get tickets to see our friends in Incubus playing at the Joint in Las Vegas on March the 30th. By the way, chance to win coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Dave DeCompany? Not yet.
What are we hearing there? Not yet?
Nothing yet. All right.
Okay.
All right.
We'll move on, and then we'll make room for Dave when he calls.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's unfortunate. I hope we get Dave on.
I do, too.
Hey, guys, it's me, Dave DeCompany.
You're Mike Hathaway.
Hey, Mike Hathaway.
Yeah.
Whose idea was this this travesty that we're about to attempt?
Oh, what?
I don't trust either one of you.
This is a service for our listeners.
Is it, though?
Yes,
is
it's a full-on service.
I believe it was the brainchild of one Dave Sanchez, but we all agreed collectively, or maybe Ally McKay.
It's all right. Dudes are always getting the credit.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
I mean, I had to figure out someone in the patriarchy to give credit for.
The idea is that... men and women sometimes approach things from different angles. Sometimes they can be looking at the exact same scenario and see it completely different. And it's hard sometimes for folks in relationships or people who are trying to be in relationships to see what it's like from that other perspective, from the other sex's point of view. So we thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a feature built in where if you're struggling with a question with a significant other, you have an opportunity to call in and talk about it and get the perspective from two very smart, capable people on our show.
Define very smart and capable.
Well,
doing this?
I know.
Kevin, that's hurtful.
I know.
And devilish.
I question Ali's credentials.
How dare
but I
you?
Will say that Mike is a man who found the love of his life and has been happily married for 5 years now and seems to have a wonderful relationship that seems to work out very well between the two of them. Am I right about that, Mike?
There's nothing there that you said is untrue. I love my wife. I cherish her.
You and Bianca seems to have figured out a way to get over the inevitable rough patches that happen in any relationship, and you seem to have built the tools. You have tools in the box there that are able to solve problems when they come about.
And imagine how rough the rough patches are when you're married to me.
Right?
Right?
You know? Oof. Well, and just to be fair, I have seen The Holiday and Love Actually numerous times.
Yep. So you're just as qualified.
Just as qualified. Okay. Listen, I have broken hearts. I have had my heart broken.
Okay.
I come from a space of vulnerability and beauty. And I just want to help.
Well, there's another thing about Ali is that a lot of times guys are getting women advice from things like men's magazines and things.
Yeah.
And Ali is a very smart, very accomplished young lady who is actually capable of giving real advice. It's probably representative of all women.
That's what Bean meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Not that
right.
she's a romantic failure and why is she even on the air on this feature right now. That's not what I meant at all.
That's probably more close
right.
to the truth.
So we thought we might take some calls. We thought we might take some calls from you. And how should we lay this out? What are the parameters of the calls we're looking for from the guys and the gals that are listening?
I feel like it would be best if it's something that has been continuing for a little while, if you've been arguing with your significant other or you have an issue that perhaps you are not able just to put behind you and move on, that it keeps rearing its ugly head and you can't figure out which way to go and how to solve it.
Okay.
I feel like maybe some complex issues here because of our esteemed guests.
That's a good point. I also think anything stuff that's good is a question that you're maybe too embarrassed to go towards the opposite
good.
Sex with.
Yeah. Good.
You know, like a guy has this burning question inside about a woman or vice versa.
Right.
That's a good stuff.
How do I ask for anal?
What?
What?
Just like that.
So 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. That is the question. May I give you guys a sample question just to kind of work it out before we get the listeners on?
Please.
Word.
All right. Here's a question that I found online from an advice column, and I thought this might be a good one to throw out just to see what you guys say.
All right.
We wanted to ask you about the universality across genders of always washing your hands after you pee. We both almost always do, but once in a blue moon, this is the man speaking, once in a blue moon, I don't wash my hands after I pee, and my wife thinks it's gross as hell. My thought is that especially right after I shower, if I don't get any urine on my hands and I'm clean, it's not a huge deal if I don't wash my hands. Please solve this for me.
He's 100% right.
He's 100% right, yeah. Says Mike. Okay. Allie?
Let's all be honest with each other. We don't wash our hands every single time. You're lying if you say you do. But dude's not peeing on his hand.
Right.
He just got out of the shower. He's. I can't say that word.
I think you can. I think that's
he
legitimate.
Dumped yes. it.
No, you can say shaft.
Stop it. I'm just
well,
saying.
You can. That's
what's
legitimate. All right. So it sounds like in this one, the man and the woman, he said, she said, you guys are both in agreement that this man who asked this question is completely right. His wife should get over it. There's nothing wrong with what he's doing.
I mean, run a little water. Fake her out.
And also, that's.
So turn on the sink, but don't put your hands
lie
under the
her.
Water.
Listen, your hands are infinite. Even in getting out of the shower, your hands substantially more dirty than that part of your body.
Right.
I only take that out for use or cleaning.
Oh.
My hands are gross, and everyone's hands are gross. I think that the idea of doing number one and a guy having to wash his hands is insane. Obviously, we all
agree.
The
penis is the cleanest part of your body, is what you're saying.
Probably.
Probably so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's couched in cotton all day long.
It's couched in cotton.
It's ensconced.
Okay. I'd like to say no advice from Bean, if that's okay.
That's all right.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. The debut installment of He Said, She Said. You got relationship or man-woman questions. We've got the team to handle. You don't want to take your calls next on K-Rock.
By the way, I love that Modest Mouse, and they just announced the big tour for this year. So hopefully we'll be seeing them and seeing some new music, too.
All right. The callers are lined up. 1-800-520-1067. Time for the inaugural edition of He Said, She Said.
He said, she said, he said, she said, he said, she said. So come on, call up right now. We have the best advice in town. We've got the male point of view and females. Yeah, we've got you too. He said, she said.
Things indeed. Mike Catherwood is here. Alan McKay taking your relationship, love, man, woman questions for advice that you need at 1-800-520-1067. I'll tell you who I like to get us started here, Kevin, is Priscilla, please. Let's get Priscilla from West Covina, line 3. Let's have her be the first caller. Hey, Priscilla.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good
Hi.
Morning. Thank you for calling. What can the room help you with?
Okay, so I've been dating this guy for 3 years.
Okay.
And we still don't call each other boyfriend and girlfriend. So I wonder at what point.
have you directly asked him, am I your girlfriend?
Yeah.
And he says, no.
We're just friends.
Wait.
Oh, well, then stop this.
Yeah. It's not a monogamous thing? You're just kind of hooking up every now and then?
No, it's actually like every day we hang out, like 4 times out of the week.
But
we
Priscilla, you're not dating him, right?
I'm not dating anybody else.
Yeah, but he is reluctant to, after 3 years.
3 years.
To call you his girlfriend.
Like, it's not like 3 years and then we'll see each other next month. It's it's every day.
I understand that, but what you don't understand from a guy's point of view, his reluctance, even though you say you're not dating other people, signifies that he definitely is.
Yes, Allie.
This is not, like, you don't know his parents, his friends, all of that, do you?
I never met his parents, but his friends and his brothers and sister.
You're not dating him.
Get out.
You're hooking up with him, and he's boning other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he needs to go.
Or just keep boning him, but stop thinking you're in a relationship with him.
Exactly. All right, thank you for the call, Priscilla. We appreciate it very much. All right, let's go to Jasmine, Long Beach, line 4, up next with a very common problem that maybe we can finally get a solution for.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Welcome to
He Said, She Said.
Your question is?
My question is about guys watching porn when they're in a committed relationship.
Oh, stop it.
Totally natural, unless he's trying to make you live up to expectations that you feel you can't live up to. If he's just watching porn, getting off on his own time, I don't see a problem with that.
Jasmine, yeah. Allie's 100% right. I understand your natural inclination is to be jealous of these porn girls and stuff like that. But watching porn and actually having sex with your lady, it's like eating and drinking. They kind of both are the same thing, but they serve two completely different functions. Okay? And guys need that, mm-hmm. even though it has nothing to do with you or how much he's into you or likes you.
So you both agree that Jasmine shouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, chill
absolutely.
Out.
Unless he's, again, trying to make, like, hey, I saw this move, let's do this, or why can't you be more like this?
Or unless he's watching too much porn, he's bleeding the lines a little too much, and he doesn't have enough chi left for Jasmine.
Well, the thing is that we have sex maybe once, twice a week, and
you're good.
Yeah, the thing is that like sometimes I feel like he does it in the morning, and then when I get home from work, he doesn't have it for me.
Oh,
yeah. Because of the fact that he's.
I mean, if that's
off.
A problem yeah. for you, that doesn't seem great.
Tell him directly that.
Yeah.
Say I have no problem with you watching porn. Do what you need to do, but you have to have enough for me to satisfy Jasmine.
Save your chi for Jasmine.
Chi.
Mm-hmm. All right, Allie, you agree as well, right?
100%.
Very good. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's squeeze in one more at least if we have time. Orlando, line 8, has got a great question for us from L.A., you guys, on He Said, She Said.
Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Also, on a bonus, I just want to do a side note. I'm running on empty on an Amazon vehicle. I have a 200 package that needs to be delivered. And hopefully I can make it.
Okay, right. Good luck with that. Yes.
This is for Allie. I wanted to get a girl's perspective. What do you think on long-distance relationships? Are girls prolonged to like cheat on the male?
In a long-distance relationship?
Yeah.
You have to set up parameters. Long distance relationships are not easy, but you have to be willing to put in the work. You have to figure out when you're going to visit each other, when you're going to Skype, when you're going to do things. There has to be things set up. And if you want to cheat, you're going to cheat. It has nothing to do with long distance or the dude lives next door.
All right, Allie, Mike, you got the same answer?
I completely agree. I don't recommend long-distance relationships unless they're mandatory, like you're in the mm-hmm. Marines. If there's a way around it, I mean, typically it's not a great way for young people to be wasting their dating years by someone who's far, far away. But I agree with Allie 100% that if you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat, regardless if someone's down the block or in Afghanistan.
Yeah, because I'm trying to – the reason I ask is to my friend – is a long distance relationship with a girl that lives in Taiwan, and he's been with her for 4 years. But I keep trying to tell him, like, dude, you really think for 4 years she has not cheated on you at least once? I mean, because women have their needs too. That's why I'm asking. But he's convinced that she hasn't.
Well, if they have been doing long distance for 4 years with no, they're not going to get married or live in the same country at least. They're both commitment phobes, and they're doing this because it's handy for both of them. Neither one of them wants to be in a relationship if after 4 years they're satisfied with being that far apart.
Glad you called, Orlando. Thanks so much. All right. Do we have time for one more? Do we have to
squeeze in one more?
All right. Who do you like, Kevin?
Let's go to Brenda, who's calling from Upland. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi. Welcome to He Said, She Said.
Hi, so I had a question. I was dating this guy for about a year, and he was also a commitment phobe, and I guess in some cases I was too. So we never made things official, and we were both kind of okay with it for a while. And then it got kind of serious. He started meeting, like, my family members, and he started coming around more often. And then out of nowhere, like, nothing. He stopped talking to me, and I ended up finding out that he had gotten back with his ex-girlfriend.
Now, had gotten back with her when? Like, right then or before?
Like, they were together, like, literally the entire time.
The whole time.
I went on her Facebook, and I found all these pictures of them. And it was, like, literally, I was, like, counting the dates. And I was, like, wow, like, this totally matched up with everything. But I never confronted him about it. He just kind of cut me off.
Okay.
So my question is, confront him or don't confront him?
No, move on with your life.
Yeah. You're going to get nothing out of confronting him. That you want that as your closure? Guess what? He doesn't care. Your closure is that he did this. You're better off. Move on.
And the guy who ghosts a chick like that, he's not going to be a stand-up dude and be like, you're right. You caught me. Yeah. I'm sorry. I hope you can forgive. He's going to wax more yarns of gold and eat, or whatever the saying is.
I felt like that was right.
He's going to spin more yarns of gold. He's going to lie to you continually. So just go on with your life. Find another better guy.
All right,
Brenda, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. And thanks to the panel on He Said, She Said.
He said.
We have found Dave Duchovny.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to him just after 9.
Where was he?
I forget what were the words that were used.
He's caught
he was involved in a grooming incident.
Caught in grooming.
He was caught in grooming. trimming. Which we think maybe means makeup.
He was a guest on the Harry Connick Jr. show today.
Okay. Oh.
That's where Dave is.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was cotton crooning. What? I'm sorry. I apologize.
Did you guys realize that Harry Connick Jr. has a show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got a daytime talk show.
Yeah.
Oh, TV? Don't hear much about it. Mm-hmm. Yes, on TV every day.
What?
Yeah.
Like an Ellen show. He's actually okay at it, but I get the sense that nobody's watching. So Dave Duchovny has been found and has been rescheduled for just after 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. Why is Muggs in the room?
I'm glad that Muggs is in the room because I feel like Muggs needs some closure.
Yeah.
We're going to New York for the Grammys, broadcasting live from there on Friday and Monday.
Okay.
And we've gone before to New York many different times, and Muggs has gone with us all of those times. Mm-hmm. And Muggs is a guy who occasionally gets taken advantage of.
Occasionally?
Because it's possible that he's too nice. Was this the last time we went to New York, or when was it? That you got mugged.
This was the last time we went. It was for, I believe, the VMAs in 2013. And,
is he too nice, or is he an easy mark?
Both.
Is he too nice, or is he a sucker?
Both.
Okay.
Both. So Muggs ran into, and by the way, this is going to be a full weekend of activity, Muggs. There's an Eminem show, there's a Childish Gambino show, then Sunday's the Grammys. It's going to be fun, but we feel sort of like you need some closure on a certain situation.
Okay.
And that is, the last time you went, you got robbed. Was it in Times Square?
Yeah, it was in Times Square.
Describe to us who you were talking to and exactly what happened. And then we do have some audio from the last time we were there.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, so it's you know those guys. It's similar to if you're from Los Angeles, Hollywood and Highland. It's the main tourist spot. So we were in Times Square, and the guys that hand out their albums, they're aspiring artists and musicians, mainly hip hop guys, and they pass out your CDs and they want a donation. They're trying to pimp their music,
right?
So I was walking. We were filming. Are you going to finish that? Like just a little funny bit, a video bit with like a hidden camera. And I walked into a gauntlet of guys trying to sell their CDs.
I don't think gauntlet means what you think it means.
Oh. Well, there's a lot of them.
Okay.
So, and before I could really kind of like think what was going on, the guy like had this like charm to him. He had this like, it was just some sort of thing that like I couldn't turn away and I couldn't refuse, you know?
Panty dropper.
Yeah. Totally.
You look deeply into his eyes and you captivated.
It was very close to that.
Here's what I want to do. Now, I just want to stop you right there, and I just want to play the first second of this audio.
Okay.
And then I want to ask you, what on earth got you to this point of saying,
I love black guys?
Where are you from?
L.A.
What
for? Did you say, I love black guys?
Yes. Why did you say?
Let me hear that again, please.
I love black guys.
Where are you from?
L.A.
I love black guys.
Why
you guys weren't talking about porn?
This is why. This is what happened. No. This is what happened. This is all coming back to me like yesterday. Now
you should have seen his face.
So when he first approached me, I was trying to kind of nonchalantly ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he said, "Don't be afraid of a black guy."
And then Mug said,
"I love black guys."
Where are you from?
L.A.
And that's when he took me in.
Oh. So he kind of knocked you back on your feet a little bit, got you in a defensive position.
Yes.
So that you would be more likely to be receptive to his message, which was buy my mix.
Yes. So he said, yeah, don't be afraid of a black guy. And then that's when I had my awesome line.
He suckered you in.
And
with that line, he suckered you in.
And then he starts guessing, he asked me where I was from, and I said L.A. And then he mentioned something about Compton.
Right.
And I think we have an audio.
What part? Compton?
No, I wish.
Okay, so.
And then the
guy says, what part? Compton. And Mug says, I wish. Why would you say that?
I don't know. I don't think. I mean, Compton is a city in Los Angeles. And there's very nice people that live there. But I don't know if anybody would wish they would want to live there. I don't know. I think I was just starting to lose my composure.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to.
Look how
nervous Muggs
he's
right
when
now.
I know. He talks to him for 10 seconds.
Well, no, I'm not. It's not even like that. Like
you guys, I've only played 3 3/4 seconds of this. He's already said, I love black people and I wish I loved
Compton.
He's scared out of his mind.
I don't know. He was just meeting nervous mugs. I don't know what. And I'm
did
not
the dude have a gun on you?
No, it was just
because you're acting like it. You're acting like he has one on you now.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, the tape doesn't sound good, and it sounds exactly like it's putting me in a very bad light. But I just didn't know how to interact
to talk to a black man.
Truthfully, come on.
Sure.
Truthfully, when he says, don't be afraid of black people, that sort of does put you on the defensive.
Yeah, don't be afraid of black people. I'm like, I'm not.
Although you didn't say I'm not. You said I love black people. All right, so let's start it from the beginning again, since we've only played 3 seconds so far.
I love black
people. Where are
you
from?
L.A.
What part? Compton?
No, I wish.
You look like a Compton guy. For you, my comedy album, man. What's your name?
All right, now he's being funny. He says you look like a Compton guy. Clearly, that's not true.
That's not true.
So he's being funny.
And you hear my nervous laugh, like, oh, cool. And like, and I know this is going to lead to, oh, do you have a donation for my album?
He says he has a comedy album. He doesn't sound incredibly funny yet.
And so I kind of was like, you know, in Hollywood and Highland all the time, I go down there to get, you know, man on the street interviews. I'm a pro when it comes to these guys.
Are you?
They just ask me. I'm like, oh, no, thanks. And I keep walking. For some reason that day, I was just... I don't know. I was lost in
See, that's why I think you need a second chance. And when we go this weekend, you need to go get your money back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's continue.
Johnny.
I call you Jay Swag.
Awesome, man.
Any donations for my comedy album. Cool. We get up to 20 per album, or whatever you can get. Cool, you have the 20, man. Support, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, now what's happening there? Because they're saying, thank you, brother. You got the 20. How did they
know? So after he endeared me and made me just like completely lose my train of thought, I was gonna, you know, I'll just reach in my pocket and see. I'll just give these guys something. I'll just give these guys like a couple of bucks or something.
Okay,
you know, whatever. I don't even need an album. I'll just give these guys a couple of bucks. So I reach into my
pocket. Just so that you can leave.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So I just exactly. So I reach into my pocket and out comes a $20 bill.
Worst possible scenario.
Worst
you were
possible
so
scenario.
So hoping for a five.
And before I could say, oh, do you have like kind of change? Like his partner that was with him straight up just grabbed it out of my hand. Oh, thanks, man.
Okay,
great.
Can I tell you something? They're not making change. They're not giving you change.
I quickly
man.
Realized that.
They're not going to give you change.
I quickly realized.
How much do you want? 19? Yeah, here you go.
And it before I was like, oh, okay. And like before I could like even say anything, the 20 was out of my hand. Right. And I was like, okay, all right, cool. There you go, guys.
Let's continue.
This is how JG started, man. Support, man.
Is that cool?
No, it's a little more.
We try to get up to 10 to 20.
All right, now what happened? Is that cool? What?
So that was, I think that part, for some reason the audio wasn't there, but that was me trying to like, I was trying to give him less than the 20.
Oh, I see.
And he was like making change. He had like a water.
So he just kept the 20 and said, no, we get up to 20.
And his buddy's like, no, we get up to 20 and we can split it both ways. We can get, he can get 10 and I can get 10. So you're good. You're good.
All right.
Move on.
Okay.
Cool. We'll split it up 10-10.
Perfect. Perfect.
Split
up 10-10.
10-10? Yeah, you have two albums.
Okay.
Hey, where are
you? Two. Two.
Oh, did you hear him right there, Kevin?
What did he say?
I had an extra $2 in my other. He's like, oh, and give me that $2 too.
Why would you pull out your other $2?
I don't know. I was just like scrambling.
You're
dude.
Going through your pockets to pull out any money you have.
I was a nervous mess. I was.
You got
I just,
robbed, dude.
I mean, essentially, that. I mean,
the guy took the 20 out of your hand.
The guy took the 20, split it with his buddy, 10-10, and then. The other $2 that I had.
You didn't get robbed. You got suckered, dude.
Yeah, true. I mean, although they took it out of his hand.
Guess what? They saw Mark and they were like, easy.
Yeah, and he pulled out
Trust
any
me,
money.
If I was holding that 20, they wouldn't have taken it out of my hand.
Yeah.
It would
How
have
was
been
this comedy
gone.
Album, Muggs?
How is it?
You know, it's
he
lacking
didn't
in some areas.
To it. Don't listen to him. There's no way you even took an album.
But what if when we go back this weekend, I go and try to find those guys
yes,
and get my money back?
Please.
That'll
Not
going
to happen.
I didn't think so. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
By the way, if we didn't thank Anna Baca from Compton, Beer Mug wants to come live near you. He loves Compton. And thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to Las Vegas to see Incubus at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And you get to go on the K-Rock Incubus. We're talking about round-trip transportation. Your chance to join Anna at that show. Coming up, keep listening all week long on K-Rock.
Time for what's happening with Ali.
We need to get a hold of Yasiel Puig.
Because
if you were going to a McDonald's yesterday in the Glendale area, pretty good chance he took your order and then fired up the grill and was making your burgers.
He's working at McDonald's?
What is happening? It is the LA Dodgers kicking off their 15th annual Community Service Week.
Oh.
They kicked it off on Monday, and they've got scheduled events all over LA. They go, they reach out to the community. Well, Yasiel Puig decided he was going to go to that McDonald's in Glendale. He's taking your order. He's flipping burgers, having a grand old time. That is pretty awesome. There's a great picture that they had posted as well. Just him, little apron on, little McDonald's hat with everybody there. Just really fits in. Like, he has that McDonald's charisma, that smile. You know that McDonald's smile.
Sure.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. He's loving it, is what I'm saying. It is adorable. We have to talk to him, find out how he did, because...
That could be a difficult job.
Touch and go. Sure. Yeah, it's not easy.
Right.
You have to kind of grow into that. You guys, we missed something huge yesterday, and I'll take the blame for this.
Okay, this on you?
This is on me.
All right.
This is a huge day. Yesterday was declared Chuck Henry Day. In honor of the Anchorman's five-decade career in news, he's going to be honored at the end of the week at the Golden Mike Awards as well. We missed Chuck Henry Day. I mean, we could have done a whole day,
man,
of all Chuck Henry tributes.
How did we? It's unbelievable.
It's on me. I apologize.
I love Chuck Henry.
Oh, who doesn't? If people don't know the magic of Chuck Henry, Anchorman, NBC... My favorite was the fires,
the fire,
right?
Yeah. The fire department was telling everybody, to all the press, move your vehicles back. We don't know that this is a safe area.
Yeah, he was in a live truck doing a live report.
And everybody else left except for Chuck Henry, who stayed there in that dangerous location.
Yeah.
And then the fire changed directions and pretty much destroyed the van, right?
Mm-hmm.
And almost Chuck as
but
well.
He held
it so
together.
Badly for the people lost their possessions. You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it. I was inside the truck. I tried to get it start. Wouldn't start. I jumped out of the driver's seat, and all there was flames. I saw Lee. He was outside, and I couldn't see where to go. He just said, "Hey, Chuck, Chuck," and he's calling at me. It was a fireman. And I just ran in his direction. He grabbed me, and he literally threw us in the back of his truck. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Poor Chuck.
Stupid Chuck
truck.
Loves being remembered for that, the worst day of his 50-year career. But my problem with that is it's 100% Chuck Henry's fault.
Yeah.
The fire department told him to move the van, the stupid van with a bunch of equipment in it. I mean, come on. He's the only one that didn't.
Yeah, that's on Chuck.
That's on him.
Yeah. Trust me, when a police officer or a fireman says, move... You do. You don't do the, oh, but it's a great vantage point for our viewers. I'm going to have the best report. No, F you, move. You're putting their lives in danger as well.
Yep.
Let alone poor Lee, who he couldn't even see.
You do not know how much we regret that got on the air.
Okay.
He's had some good times at Channel 4.
He really has. He really has. So, Chuck Henry Day yesterday, which now we'll put in our calendar.
And will still be celebrated Friday, did you say?
This weekend. The Golden Mike Awards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a bummer we'll be in New York because we could have gone to that. Yes. So Monday Night Football is obviously having to replace John Gruden. He's going back to the Raiders, going to be head coach.
Right.
So who do you put in the booth? Who's your new analyst?
Well, I like the one suggestion that I've been seeing on the internet.
Oh, I hope it's not the one I have.
Is it Alex Jones?
No.
What?
What?
Alex Jones is the one that
what?
I've been reading about.
Stop it.
Well, remember, they tried Rush Limbaugh, remember, for a while. So why not Alex Jones?
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, he was in the booth
for a
season.
Tried Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my gosh.
He sure did.
Okay, well, then the one I hated is so much better than Alex Jones. Because
it's Smokey Love.
No, but I think that would be a great choice.
Agreed.
He'd be wonderful. Be real. Be real. Oh, just lighten up in there. That'd be fun.
Right?
Nope, not be real.
The Louisiana Creeper.
No, Bean is not that big in the booth.
Bobo.
Bobo is not. He is on tour with Cypress Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus
cannot make it to all the games. He's overseeing
them,
but he can't really be in the booth.
Okay.
Hi, it's Kat. Kat is not really a football fan at all. Becky with the good hair.
Oh, I know.
El Gordo y la Flaca.
No, neither of them will be there.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Oh, he would be great, but kind of a masshole, so you don't want
what
him.
What about an emotional support squirrel?
That's the best idea
delightful.
Ever.
Delightful. Well, no, it's Peyton Manning is who they're...
Oh, Peyton Manning. All
who
right.
they're supposedly talking with.
I can see that.
I can see that, too.
Of course. I mean, he was a great quarterback. He knows the game.
Right.
I mean, Tony Romo has really set the standard for athlete-turned-broadcaster,
yeah.
hasn't he? That's a tough one to live up to.
Yeah. Can you believe this was his first season,
no,
Tony Romo?
No, that's absurd.
It's
his first game was unbelievably good.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. However, I did notice when he was calling the Patriots game, Patriots-Jags, Patriots fans were like, screw this guy, I hate him so much. And then Jags fans were like, oh, he's such a Patriots homer. He's totally getting that Joe Buck thing that everybody thinks he's against your team.
Right.
He's just excited. And I kind of love that about him.
This guy, the spirit, this smiling, leering devil that thinks you can't see what he is your enemy.
Whoa.
Period.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, strong opinion.
Talking
I'm
about
down
Tom
with
Brady.
Alec Jones now.
Yeah.
Down with him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome to have
yes,
Alec Jones
would.
In the booth?
Yes, it would.
No.
Hey, Alex, what do you think of Tom Brady?
Disingenuous, fake, false, broke back, twisted, a defiler, a betrayer, a backstabber, a devil.
How could you not want to watch that game?
He's not wrong. I like it. All right, some birthdays for you. Singer Neil Diamond, actress Kristen Schaal, and actors Ed Helms and Matthew Lillard. That's what's happening.
We're going to catch up with our old friend Steve-O coming up in about 30 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Mike, I imagine you and Steve-O have spent some good times together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a legitimate friend. He's my, I would say, my only real celebrity friend.
He's the best, and he's out going around the world rescuing dogs. I don't know if you've seen those videos. He just got engaged recently. I understand there's quite a story to be told with that. So we'll catch up and give our congratulations to Steve-O coming up later this hour. And Dave Duchovny joins us just after 9 as well on K-Rock.
All right. Mike, you brought in World Star Wednesday. Tell us about this.
World Star Wednesday is going to happen because there's really no other website that anyone should ever go to.
That's
it's got
it, right?
Everything you need. World Star Hip Hop has everything a human being could ever need online.
We featured one of the videos recently. You probably saw the auntie who was all fed up with everything in the world.
You got it.
2017 is the worst year. 2018, things are going to be different. And I said at that time, and I think the room agreed, that if you could only have access to one news site, it needs to be WorldStarHipHop.com, because that's where all the important stuff's going down.
WorldStar,
let's do it.
Yeah, it's WorldStar Wednesdays,
we need a new intro. Got that.
No!
Jack, new intro.
Everyone is just...
What just happened?
Banging their heads right now.
Uh-huh.
They're going to try to get that remix right now. They're probably
heading
the World Star to get that the Omar Khan remix.
Sure.
I'm going to let you listen to a little bit of this clip, and you just... You tell me what it is. What do you think this is?
What Allie? Is that?
That's...
I feel right. like maybe it's someone snoring.
How on earth did you get that?
How did you get
That's
that?
That's a human being.
Oh, I didn't think it was a human. I thought it was like a goat or a dog.
That's a man snoring.
Huh? You want to hear more?
A little bit. Yeah. I lived with a...
It sounds like the Ying Yang Twins.
Yeah.
How do you not put a pillow over that guy's head?
I lived
in the middle
with a snore that it wasn't that bad, but it was up there.
But you almost really? Can't get upset at that.
No.
You're just like, wow.
Yeah, it's art.
It's art.
All right. Speaking
I'm
of.
I'm so sorry that
no,
I can't
hey, listen. Allie, again,
I'm guessing it's someone
there's
snoring.
There's no need to be upset. I'm impressed.
Okay.
This next clip, we're going to stay with the theme of sounds coming out of the human body.
Okay.
There's really nothing better than a little teeny baby laughing.
Correct.
Yes. But she adds a little spice to it. Check it out.
Brooklyn.
Oh, pardon. She farted.
Come on. I said to Omar, I said, a baby laughing hysterically and farts, I don't need much else.
No, that's the perfect clip.
That is heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You guys are all professional broadcasters. Allie, I know you've been live on the streets, mm-hmm. and you've probably dealt you know, with the hard to pronounce name.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Tell me if you've ever had anything like this.
So what is your name?
My name is...
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
What was it?
Oh, you play it again. You'll hear it.
Well, I mean, I heard it, but what do you think he said? What's his name? Because you said, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his name is?
So what is your name? My name is...
Pardon?
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 Where's this dude from, Mike?
I'm not...
It sounds Haitian.
Yeah, I was going to say some type of like colonized
French
place.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I was gonna, maybe in the Caribbean or something, but mm-hmm. you can't really tell. This poor guy interviewing him is like just stuck. He doesn't know what to do.
I like that after that entire name, which takes about a half hour mm-hmm. to pronounce, he goes,
pardon?
Pardon?
Come again. I mean, what is your name? Your name, your name.
Now my name, I call for you now.
Can we call you something for short?
How's
about,
Ted?
How about Hank?
Call me Charles. Final clip I bring to you. I need to find this man and make him my friend.
Okay.
He is a great American. This comes from everyone's favorite TV show, The People's Court. And you know, at the end of The People's Court, after the case... They interview the guy or gal coming out of the courtroom, okay? Here you go.
Well, it's good to see you alive. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know. Maybe this guy was on something. Maybe D hit him. Who knows?
He was calling you the suspect in the courtroom.
See? You know, I don't know. You like know I said, D hit him, so it wasn't me.
Maybe. What's D?
D's nuts. He's this guy's crazy.
D what?
Huh? D's nuts.
Yes,
that's the best part. The super, super duper white starchy interviewer guy goes, I'm sorry, excuse me, D, who's D?
Well, it's good to see you alive. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know, maybe this guy was on something. Maybe D hit him. Who knows?
He was calling you the suspect in the courtroom.
You see? You know, I don't know. You like know I said, D hit him, so it wasn't me.
Maybe. What's D?
D's nuts. He's this guy's crazy.
D what?
Huh? D's nuts.
D's nuts.
D what?
D's nuts.
D's nuts. And the guy who delivered the D's nuts, you can see him trying so hard not to laugh in the entire setup. Maybe D hit him. Oh gosh, here it comes.
And that's World Star Wednesday. I don't want to rain on anybody's fun because that's not what I'm about. But right. I don't want any kind of untrained civilian on the grill if I'm going to McDonald's. I want to know that the person who's making my burger knows how to make my burger.
What if that person is Yasiel Puig, as Ali just reported about 15 minutes ago?
I mean, I think that's fun. I think that's fun that Yasiel is there at the Glendale McDonald's as he was yesterday, you know, meeting the fans and signing autographs and taking pictures. I think all of that is awesome.
Working the drive through, flipping burgers.
Yeah. Keep them away from the grill. I'm just saying.
What,
I don't
really?
Trust them. I feel like there's training that's required to do McDonald's.
How hard can it be?
You want a stranger back there flipping your burgers?
If it's Yasiel Puig,
yes.
Well, welcome to E. coli, Kevin. That's what I'm saying to you.
I'm just saying
there's training that's involved, but what a treat that must have been for Dodgers fans who are just having no idea just going through the drive-thru, and there's their right fielder in the window.
This Los Angeles Dodgers kicked off their 15th annual community service week Monday with a bunch of events scheduled to take place throughout this week. And yesterday, like we said, Yasiel Puig was at a McDonald's, and we thought we would check in with him and find out just exactly how that went, because we have a good relationship with Yasiel.
Hi there. Glendale.
How are you?
Glendale, indeed. Did you have a good time yesterday, Yasiel?
I'm still here. I still work at Glendale McDonald's. I love it so much. I love baseball. I love Yasiel Puig. I love hamburgers. I love McDonald's.
Did you see you're still there?
I'm still there. I'm serving at the window right now. Hey, you know what? Here come a customer.
Can I get a number one with a Sprite and a four-piece McNugget?
Four-piece. Okay.
Thanks.
Come to the second window. I have your total for you. Yasiel Puig.
That sounds pretty easy, Yasiel, and it sounds like you're doing a good job with it.
I do everything. I cook the hamburger, I cook the french fry, and yesterday, when I first started the promotion, Yasiel Puig, I take a Happy Meal, and I go, I say, hey, Yasiel Puig, Rafael, Los Angeles daughter, I have a great arm, and I put the kids across the parking lot, and I throw Happy Meal, and I go, I throw it to the kid, but I crush the kid's chest. Oh. So they have me stop doing that.
Yeah, that's you don't want to hurt people.
I smashed him through the wall.
I love the idea of a kid having to back up 200 feet so you could throw a Happy Meal at him.
Yeah, I say, are you ready? Y'all still put a frozen rope for you, little kid. Little Timmy, are you ready? Whoosh! Yeah, poor kid. His mom was upset, so now you're still putting just work at the window and they take an order.
Oh, I see. So now you're just doing the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's probably safer. Hold on real quick.
Let me get a double-double.
Yeah.
No
double double.
Do you mean quarter pounder, sir? Okay.
Yeah,
either way, I have your total for your second window.
Well done, Yasiel. Look at that.
I've been working here today. I love it so much. You know, I have a history. Coming from Cuba, I have a history of working in baseball and working with Hamburguesa because during the communism, the extreme communism of Castro's reign, I had to chop up my sister and make her into a hamburger.
Oh, no, Yasiel, you did.
It was all the food we had. Before that, all I was eating was cockroaches and boogers.
Oh, no.
My grandma, sweet Abuelita, she said, you're malnourished. And I said, what are we going to do? She said, well, your back's to the wall. And so next thing you know, little sister Hamburguesa.
Oh, that's a really sad story. It doesn't eat your family.
Yes, it will. Los Angeles Dodger. Now I make it here. I float here on corrugated tin roof, and half of my family is dead at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. But here I am. I hit home run. And everybody happy, Yasiel Puig, McDonald's.
And if
Ali, how are you?
I'm doing great, Yasiel.
I got some hamburgers for you. I got some beef for you.
Okay. Yeah?
You know what I mean?
I think I do.
Talk about humping.
Okay. So I think it's Sunday night. I was going through my Instagram, and I saw an Instagram from Steve-O with a picture of two hands, one hand, a male hand over a female hand, and the female hand had a wedding ring on it.
Oh.
Or an engagement ring.
Engagement ring, right. And it was from Steve-O.
Right, yeah.
Sunday night.
Right. Last night in front of a bunch of my jackass buddies, which is that's because how all women want to become engaged is in front of a bunch of jackass buddies. My closest friends, my dad and my sister, she said, yes, I planned that for more than 6 months and I'm so happy. Well, we got to find out more about this. Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
Congratulations, first of all, sincerely. We're very happy for you and Jen.
And thanks. Her name is Lex.
Or whatever. I don't care.
But we're really happy for Jen, too.
We're happy for whoever she is.
Who the hell is Jen Bean?
I don't know.
What the hell just happened?
Well, listen, Tom.
I so appreciate it. And, I'm really thrilled about it. I mean, you guys have been in the loop on all of my endeavors, particularly working towards having a healthy relationship.
Right.
Right. And it's just so great, man.
Now you said that you've been planning it for 6 months. Was Tani aware of this?
It's Lux. Tell Lux. Her name is Lux.
Was Lux aware of this?
It was over 6 months ago that I asked her to get finger sized.
Oh, so that's a big heads up. Hey, I'd like to get your ring size if that's okay.
Maybe he's just curious. Just curious.
I wanted to do, and yeah, I knew back then that that was the plan, but I wanted to kind of get that, I don't know, at the time I was like, it's not a big thing, and I just thought it'd be fun, go ahead and do that.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I've been definitely planning it for a long time. And then I'm so stoked. We've been together for a year. I've never been in a relationship for a year.
You've never been in a relationship for a year?
I know. And I'm 43 years old. It's pretty pathetic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knows after a year it's time to get married.
The thing is that for the whole year, we've never once yelled at each other. Of course, there have been times when we upset each other or disappointed one another, but we've always resolved it and always through healthy communication. I just don't even know what to do with myself. I'm
That's
so
great.
Happy.
That's great news. All right, can you explain for us the part in your Instagram post where you said it was in front of a bunch of your jackass buddies, your closest friends, your dad, and your sister? Was this some sort of a party you were already having, or how were all these people assembled for the big moment?
It happened on stage at the taping of my new comedy special.
Okay.
So this new comedy special is sort of part jackass movie, part comedy, and all multimedia, where in the stand-up portion of the show, footage is edited into the program, so you're actually watching the stories take place as well as hearing the stories and the jokes. And I just figured I'm going to do it anyway, and at the end, I might as well do it on stage. And so I had all these jackass guys, my family, my best friends, and they were all part of the show, and we did a big curtain call. And I surprised my girl with that at the end.
That's pretty cool. Very romantic. That, and so much pressure on her with all of those people there and an audience that's ready to tear her apart if she says no.
Did she really have a choice, Steve-O?
Did she really have a choice? But we can ask her.
Oh, is she there?
It was a no-brainer for me. So.
Really? Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
A guy like Steve-O, knowing what his life, how crazy his life has been, does that give you pause? Does that make you nervous that one day you're just going to wake up and find yourself, I don't know, at the North Pole or something? Who knows with Steve-O what he's like?
No, not at all. It's all very exciting, and there was no hesitation whatsoever.
Why is your phone 100 times better than Steve-O's?
Oh, this is the same phone.
It is?
Why does he not know how to use a phone then?
Was he talking in the wrong end? Seriously. What about all of his friends, though? What about all the jackass guys?
Yeah, do you marry into that family, too?
A little bit, yeah. It's all a part of him, so.
Wow, that's crazy.
It all kind of comes in a package.
Was it a surprise to you?
Yes, absolutely. Honestly, I had no idea. I was so focused on the comedy special and, you know, just supporting him and doing what he was doing on stage, and I had no idea. It was I'm surprised I didn't turn bright red or anything, but it was definitely a surprise for me.
Lux, do you ever get nervous about the stuff that your fiance does to his body in the pursuit of comedy?
What's that?
Do you ever get nervous about the stunts that Steve-O tries? Do you ever get worried that he's going to hurt himself?
No, the only time when he did all the explosives in the living room, I just wanted to make sure we did a test run, and nobody was really into that, and I just couldn't understand. You know, like we're working with fire and explosives. Let's just try one out and see how it
is. Look at you, the voice of reason. Thank God, you're going to keep Steve-O alive a lot longer. I'm very happy about that.
And then the only other time was in when we were filming the opening for Gnarly, and Knoxville was hitting baseballs at him while he was taped to the side of a billboard truck. And we put all this work into mounting cameras and taping him up there, and Knoxville starts hitting baseballs at him, right at his head.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if Knoxville was either really good at it or really bad, but I was finally. One was really close to the camera. One was really close to Steve's head. And I was like, all right, that's it. You're done. But no, other than that, I'm super supportive.
Now, this is her life. This is her life now, you guys.
Your normal day is Johnny Knoxville hitting baseballs at your husband, who's taped to a truck. That's your life.
I wanted to give you guys a couple of things that pointed me in this direction. When we did these fire explosions in my living room.
Right.
This is when I ended up with third-degree burns on, like, 15% of my body, and I got the flesh of 7 different dead people grafted on surgery.
Is that what, was that the picture of your face that you put up on Instagram? Where you looked like your burn?
It was on Instagram where I had all the ridiculous blisters all over my body.
Oh.
And so the skin was falling off, like, huge swaths. And I was just throwing it in the toilet. And so it occurred to me, like, wow, that really looks remarkable. So I got my girl to film me as I scooped my own flesh out of the toilet water. And it's dangling off my fingers. And I said, I should not eat this. And she's like, why not?
What?
I mean, I feel like it was going so well there for a minute. And then...
This but is a miracle, Steve-O.
Yeah, and another time, I was trying to come up with a new dumb thing to do, and I thought, wow, how is it that after 20 years of Jackass, or close to it, nobody ever took a poop on a fan? You know, like...
Okay. All
right. Right?
Hear him out. Hear him out.
I was thinking about that last weekend as well.
Right. Well, I'm not talking about a person who appreciates our art. I mean, like, the thing with the blades and stuff.
Right.
And so now my girl's wearing a mini skirt, right? I got everybody standing around. It's a real production. I'm expecting that the poop is going to shower upward, you know, and I'm going to bend over and stick my face down, and it'll look all funny, and I'll have it all
what is that happening?
Where did we lose control of this?
When we said, hi, Steve-O?
What happened was when the poop hit the fan, the fan sent it all spinning sideways. And everybody went running for cover except my girl. She stood there, and she held that camera perfectly steady right up to the point when she said, "Do I have poop in my vagina?"
Okay. And that is the moment when you said, "I need to marry this girl."
Yeah. What's your ring size?
They are perfect for each other.
It's so funny. Your guys' reaction to that story is exactly the reason why I cut that out.
That's a good move.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Well, Steve-O, it sounds like she is the perfect woman for you, and we are delighted that you are so happy. And congratulations again. All right.
Hey, as always, I love you guys so much.
Thank you, Steve-O.
It means the world to me when we see each other on Instagram, and I'm just so grateful that you'd reach out and take this time to celebrate with me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course. Happy to do it. And all our best to Lux. Thanks, Steve-O. Talk to you soon.
For sure. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. Here's something important to know about us. Mm-hmm. We told you that we were going to talk to Dave Duchovny a couple hours ago.
Yes.
We are liars.
Okay.
So we cannot be trusted. So know that about us.
Right.
But right now we're saying we're going to talk to Dave Duchovny next.
Okay. But we can believe us now.
Sure. We'll see.
All right. He was being groomed before.
That's what we heard. He was caught in grooming is what we heard.
Yeah, which is odd. Just exactly. Say he was in makeup.
I'm not sure what that choice of words is, but...
X-Files returns tonight on Fox for episode 4 of season 11, which may be the final season of the X-Files. I'm very sad about that.
Very happy about tonight's episode, though. It looks crazy.
Yeah.
First, though, before we get to Mr. Duchovny, what's happening, Ellie?
Our prayers have been answered, you guys.
Okay.
For everyone that for years has been demanding a full-length album of Sting and Shaggy.
Woo!
It is here.
A what?
Full-length album. Sting.
And?
Shaggy.
Shaggy.
Wasn't me, Shaggy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are musical equals, certainly.
It's an interesting pairing. But apparently, from what people are saying, the sound is exactly what you would think when those two artists have melded together. It's kind of like an island rhythm with acoustic guitar, some kind of fun beats. But we have a little clip of one of the first songs called Don't Make Me Wait.
Don't make me wait. Don't make me wait to love. I don't wanna rush and I don't wanna take my time. I'm putting everything on the line. They say that true love's hard to find. Ready now to make your mind.
Don't make me wait.
Why? How many times do you think they had to tell Shaggy that Sting really wanted to work with him before he believed it?
Why?
A million.
Why is Sting doing this? I understand why Shaggy would do it.
Yeah. Sting has a really great connection with Jamaica. He thinks it's magic. He loves all things Jamaica.
Okay.
So I can imagine you reach out to someone that could make that kind of island sound, and you reach out to Shaggy.
For just one song, though, right?
That's a whole album, like I said. Full-length album.
We heard you say that, but are you positive?
Positive.
Okay.
I would not have predicted this, that's for sure.
And just to make it even more irie, it comes out on April 20th. That's 420, you guys. For you pot smokers out there, that is 420.
Right.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
But you didn't need it?
Like Bean said, I would have never in a million years guessed that this would happen.
That's interesting. I mean,
even if they were to start with the question, who's Sting going to do an album with, mm-hmm. that you would never consider, wouldn't come up with Shaggy.
Yeah. The Sting's at the point in his career that he's just doing stuff he loves. So
I guess so.
It makes sense. Shaggy won.
Yeah, right?
Excellent. Hey, we talked earlier in the show about someone that was on the field at the same time as Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson were, Super Bowl 38, during Nipplegate.
Yeah, you were asking us who it was, and we couldn't for the life of us remember.
We couldn't figure it out, but this person was on Watch What Happened Live, Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, saying he's still upset about that because no one remembers he was part of the festivities. He said he spent 6 long months practicing, rehearsing for this big moment at the Super Bowl, but then the nipple happened and everyone forgot him.
I mean, I don't think people even remember Justin Timberlake's part before that or Janet Jackson's part.
No,
nothing.
Just the nipple.
That happened at that Super Bowl.
But that person was Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
But then Bean did a deeper dive, and there were others involved that we completely forgot as well. Bean?
Well, first of all, Nelly was also in that same performance,
right?
That
really?
We only remember Nipplegate for, mm-hmm. as was Kid Rock, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Kid Rock was on the same halftime show.
No idea.
I think we have blotted everything out, but that one tiny dot on Janet Jackson's body.
Well, it was a pasty.
It was a pasty.
Yeah. I mean, really, how offensive is a nipple, everyone? It changed the face of broadcasting.
It did. We sat in many, many meetings with lawyers because of that. It was insane.
Unbelievable.
The last time that I checked, a nipple was not a dangerous weapon.
Good point.
I don't know. You should see the way I use mine. Where I wield those bad boys, right?
Everyone in the office is noticing your nipples today.
God, that voice is creepy. That is terrible. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about what some Viking fans are doing in preparation of all those Eagles fans coming to their town. It's funny.
Uh-oh.
They are petty as hell. I like it. Some birthdays for you. We've got singer Neil Diamond, actress Kristen Schaal, and actress Ed Helms and Matthew Lillard. That's what's happening.
I'm going to force you guys to love HQ Trivia coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Since you refuse to play on the app, we're going to play on the radio coming up and see how you do.
I'm not great at anything having to do with answers and or questions.
Would you say, Kevin, that you're weak in the knowledge department?
Correct.
Yeah, that's a big part of HQ Trivia.
And when there's knowledge, there's zero recall.
So I got knowledge, by the way.
So I got that going for me.
Speaking of knowledge, I was going to tweet that our next guest is a Renaissance man, but I have no idea how to spell the word Renaissance. But he does it all as a writer, as a director, as an actor, as a best-selling author with a new book coming out in May, and, of course, as a musician with a brand-new album called Every Third Thought being released on Friday, February 9th. Here's a little piece of new music from our friend Dave Duchovny.
This man can't do.
I know. Ridiculous.
We get it, Duchovny. You're better than we are. Shut up.
Come on, guys.
How are you, sir?
I'm going to make you feel worse. I believe it's Renaissance.
You are correct.
You are probably right.
Look, thank you. Some of us didn't go to Yale, Dave. Come on.
Hey, Dave, were you a great speller when you were a kid? Were you in a spelling bee or anything like that?
No, I'm not a good speller now. Oh, I do happen to know Renaissance.
You just know that word.
Yeah, I'm not a great speller or great at punctuation or anything like that. Not good at, and my handwriting is terrible.
Excellent.
How about that? Yeah. Well, good. That makes us feel better. At least we know there's some chinks in the armor. So you have a very busy year. Obviously, you're back on the TV with The X-Files. We'll talk about it in a minute. But I mentioned you got a new book coming out in May. You wrote and recorded a brand new album that's out on February 9th. Are you just great with time management, or are you a guy who gets up and just devotes a part of every day to one of these disciplines and just knocks them all out?
No, I just, whatever, you know, with the books, it's like I'll have a project and I'll kind of see that through. That'll be the only thing I can do for a while, because when you're writing, you really have to just devote yourself fully to that. With the music, it's much more collaborative, so I can kind of come in and come out. I can work with the band, and we can work on songs, you know, and they actually do the recording. I don't produce or arrange or anything like that. So that's, I can kind of flit in and out of that a little bit. But the writing takes everything.
I watched a little bit of your Billboard Live performance that you did. Was it yesterday with the band?
Yeah.
And you have a lot of great musicians in that group.
Yeah, they're
dude.
Really good. The band is way, way better than I am, for sure.
That's the way you want to arrange it, man.
Well, congratulations. And by the way, if you want to pre-order the album, you can. Just go to daviddecovneymusic.com. And as I mentioned, it's coming out on February 9th. I think your fans will like it. All right, let's talk TV. We're up to episode 4 tonight.
Yeah.
Of season 11 of The X-Files, and the promos that they've been running on Fox for the show that airs tonight at 8 makes it look like maybe one of the craziest episodes you guys have ever done.
For sure. I think that's a fair assessment. it's a Darren Morgan episode, and fans of the show will know that Darren always brings his own special slant to whatever he does. And it really, you know, when we were shooting it, Jillian and I were talking, and we were saying this could be a great final X-File. If this could be the last one we ever did, this sums up so much about the show and about the characters and about life in general.
How does it compare to when you took mushrooms in the last season? That show was pretty bizarre.
That was totally bizarre.
That was weird beyond words.
In that show, kind of the mushroom trip was kind of a tonal shift. You know, like
right.
It was this very serious show about a suicide bomber and so but this particular episode is more tonally consistent in that it's kind of a funny episode from start to finish.
The episode deals with the Mandela effect, which is something, Ali, I know that you have been obsessed with.
We've
talked about a lot off the air, but it's a real phenomena, right, Dave, where mass groups of people believe that something happened even though it didn't, and it's a little bit of a mystery as to how they work, right?
Yeah, I had never heard of it. The first I heard of it was when I read the script, and I actually thought that Darren had made it up. But as you say, it is a phenomenon, and it appears to be when a lot of people misremember something, but it's not just a few people, but, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50% of the people. And I think in this era of, you know, in this era of Trump that we're in now, and all the kind of crap that they're throwing at us, that this is fake news and that is fake news, there's going to be a lot more of that. And I think that's what Darren is cluing into.
It feels like the X-Files fits better now into the way politics and media are than it did in the 90s when it was so popular.
Yeah, I mean, in the 90s, you really felt like Mueller was a crackpot.
Right.
You know?
And now he's the most reasonable man on my television.
Now he's the esteemed senator from Massachusetts. Who knows what he is?
How did you feel as the actor who has played Fox Mulder for so long with
tired.
That information? Besides tired.
Tired.
With that information that was revealed to us fans in episode 1 of season 11 about the real identity of the father of your son?
Well, let's just say it was a tense dinner between Mulder and Scully that night.
Well, you seem to make up for it last week.
Yeah,
what I'm
done
saying.
My game, apparently.
Yeah. I counted at least two interactions, if you will. Two bone in
situations. Thank you.
Yeah, two bone in situations.
Well, you're welcome. I'm not sure what to say.
I say thank you as well. Finally, like, and it was so just not even a huge deal in the script. All of a sudden, there's Scully with, she's in the hotel with a little blanket up by her, and he's talking about her afterglow. Like, if that's it? That's all we get? How about some more sexy banter?
Well, it is a network show. You know, I think we've been spoiled by cable. We've been seeing a lot of makeout sessions on television, but I think what Chris wrote that Carter wrote that episode, and I think Julie and I were confused too, because we were like shooting that scene, and you know, you cut away to the double, and I'm like, so the double is the assumption that the double is watching us have sex now?
Yeah, it was a little troubling in parts,
like,
for
that's,
sure.
That's a little kinky.
Yeah, I mean, I was into it.
Has it been fun to be back for season 11, Dave?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The season that we did before, I guess call it 10, we only did 6 episodes, and it was hard to kind of had to find the groove, because it had been so long since we did it, first of all. And it seemed like by the time we found the groove, we were ending up. And this time, we kind of got the groove earlier, and we had longer to stay in the groove. I said groove a lot.
You did.
A lot of groove, yeah.
A lot of groove there.
Well, we have been loving the hell out of having it back, and
You guys early on were champions of the show, and I always remember Chris Carter was so flattered that you said he had the voice of God, and he was always like, he always hold that over me. Like, I got the radio voice, not you. One of you guys said, Chris, you sound like the voice of God.
Well, he would come on our show, and we would sound like 9-year-old boys. Yeah. It was annoying.
Yeah. It has been super fun, and it looks like 2018 is going to be an amazing year for you. Hey, real quick, because I mentioned the book, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk to you when it comes out in May, though. This is another fiction work, right?
Yes, another novel called Miss Subways, and it's set in New York, and it's kind of a, I'd say, a surrealist, magical love story, I'd say. But I could be wrong about that.
Well, you wrote it.
I think you would know. Yeah, I think you would know.
I guess you would know.
So there's lots of ways to get your Duchovny, you guys. The book's coming out in May. The album is coming out on February 9th, and again, it is called Every Third Thought, and X-Files airs Wednesday nights at 8 on Fox for season 11. Fingers crossed. Hopefully the show will never go away. Dave, we love you, and we appreciate you jumping back on. It's always great to catch up, my friend.
Hey, thank you for today, and thank you for the years.
You bet. Thank you, David.
All right. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Nope.
To Kevin and Bean Show, it is 9:39.
What are you doing? What are we eating?
Jersey Mike's.
Can't wait. Can't wait 5 minutes till we're done.
It's a hot sub, dude. You don't eat a hot sub. You don't let it sit.
It's a sub above.
It is a sub above. I've actually heard that. That is true. I heard a guy say that.
Come on, man.
Hey, it's 9:39 Wednesday morning. What's happening, Allie?
Well, before we get to what's happening, I want to give something away. A pair of tickets to see Felipe Esparza at the Novo March 23rd. How good is he?
He's great.
He is. Kids love him.
He's a good dude, too.
Yeah, he is a good dude. Two winners are going to get a pair of tickets to see him at the Novo on March 23rd. Tickets on sale now at AXS.com.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you, too, Doto. Give a call. We'll take callers 20 and 21, and you're going to get that pair of tickets to see Felipe Esparza. Remember Jersey Gate last year at the Super Bowl?
Jersey Gate.
This was Tom Brady's jersey being stolen after they won, right?
Yeah, they thought maybe it was a security guard. They couldn't figure out who the heck took it. And then it wound up just being some guy that...
Wasn't it some guy in, like, South America or something?
Yes,
up with it
was the most bizarre story. How'd he get in there? How, like, he was a journalist, something. No one could really figure out how he even got there. Well, things have changed. Minneapolis law enforcement officers are protecting players' property a top priority, while federal, state, and private security agencies are also pitching in. I mean, this is going to be serious
Take
for the
easy.
Super Bowl, right?
It was
Calm
a jersey.
Down. It was a jersey, but he could have gotten big bucks for that jersey had
There's
he been able to sell it.
That don't like Tom Brady, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. There's a lot. It's true. I teased this earlier, and I don't know why this brings me such joy, but Vikings fans are petty as hell.
Well, they were looking forward to the first home Super Bowl.
And it would have been great.
It would have been great.
But you got trounced by the Eagles.
Yeah,
so,
it wasn't even close.
No,
so, yeah.
No. They're not happy about it. So how are they going to get back at Eagles fans that are coming to their city to see the Eagles take on the Patriots? Well, a lot of them are planning to sign up as Uber drivers so they can pick up Eagles fans and bring them to wrong locations.
No, they are not doing that.
Yes.
I love it.
I think that's amazing.
I love that, but I would say in general, as a fan base to mess with, maybe not the Eagles.
You might get killed.
Yes,
and
correct.
By might, you are going to get killed or they're going to hop out of the car and punch another horse. And we don't need that. We're up to two now, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Two horses.
Unbelievable. Yeah, a bunch of people were tweeting about it, and it's kind of become this little movement.
No one's going to do that, by the way. Someone may have suggested that as to be funny on social media. No one's really going to do that.
You don't think so?
No, who's going to go to the trouble to sign up, be verified, become an Uber driver, go through all of that just to screw with someone you don't know?
Are you unaware of fan bases?
Right.
Are you
no,
unaware
know.
Of how petty people can be?
Plus, they don't have to necessarily even go through all that. Just print the little Uber sign, put it in your car window, and pull up to a group of people. Someone's going to walk out and get in.
Because, Kevin, you've done that.
Sure. Who hasn't?
I just found that so dang
I've
funny.
I've gotten in cars that weren't my Uber before. I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you here? Uber? Nope. Okay. See you later.
It's just some guy named Steve driving home from work.
I did hear that the Super Bowl ticket prices just tumbled after Minnesota lost because so many people in Minnesota wanted to go, as you mentioned, Allie, see the hometown team.
Yeah.
And that was jacking up the prices. And now Eagles, you know, people in Minnesota aren't that excited about it.
Right.
Yeah, I got news for you. Eagles and Patriots fans travel big.
They'll be there.
So they are paying big bucks for those tickets now. This might be one of the funniest things I've ever read. And by funny, terrifying as well. We all know the Mexican drug lord El Chapo, head of a cartel. Right. No big deal. Well, he is up for conspiracy to murder. He's got a trial going on right now. And he's saying to the judge, no need to sequester the jurors. I'll be fine. They'll be safe. Just let them go and live their lives.
Wow.
I don't need them in a safe spot where no one can get to them.
Where I can't get to them.
This is the most unbelievable story. Prosecutors clearly fear that maybe someone in his crew might be ordered to take them out.
I mean, that did happen in Mexico a lot.
Yes. However, El Chapo's lawyers beg to differ, saying sequestering the jury will, quote, create the extremely unfair impression that he is a dangerous person from whom the jury must be protected. Who are you fooling down there? El Chapo lawyer people? You heard me. Let's get out of here, right?
Sure.
Some birthdays for you. Singer Neil Diamond, actress Kristen Schaal, and actors Ed Helm and Matthew Lillard. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 on K-Rock tomorrow morning. An all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have comedian Jeff Garland. Who's better than him?
He's very funny.
Love him so much.
Nice
He's
guy.
In studio tomorrow. We talk sports with Jim Rome, like we do on Thursdays. We've got Dr. Drew as well, and your chance to win tickets to see Incubus at the Joint, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. We'll see you tomorrow.